Turn your Bibles to the book of Jude. Don't ask me what chapter. You don't know how hard it is to not say, turn to Jude chapter 1. It is not necessary to say that, for there is no chapters. There's but one, Jude. Verse 3. Very familiar portion of Scripture. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Can we read that again? Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, he said, I realized that it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I'm going to take this verse of Scripture that we've read from here tonight. I want to preach to us contending for the faith. Contending for the faith. When we read the book of Jude, we will find that even though this is a very short letter, there are three main themes that Jude will cover here in this letter. He will write to, number one, expose false teachers. He will write to, number two, encourage the believers to contend for the faith. He will write to, number three, to tell them to end well. Now, this is not the original intent of why Jude was writing this letter in the first place. We see in verse 3 that Jude's original intent of writing this letter was to talk to them and rejoice about their common salvation. Common. Not the sense of cheap because everyone has one, but common in the sense of mutual. We have this mutual salvation. If you have been saved, you had to go to Calvary just like I had to go to Calvary. If you have been saved, you had to ask for forgiveness just like I had to ask for forgiveness. If you have been saved, you had to be washed in the blood of the Lamb just like I had to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. We have this same experience of our sins being washed away and being made alive through the Spirit of God. We have this common salvation. He was going to write unto them to rejoice about the salvation that Jude and the audience that he is writing to have both experienced. And what a worthy topic to write about. What a worthy topic to discuss, this salvation that you and I have experienced for ourselves, where we were once in darkness, but now since the light of life was revealed unto us, we have been brought into that marvelous light. But in his endeavors to write this letter, as he was starting to put pen to paper, Jude realized that it was more needful for him to write unto them, to exhort them to contend for the faith. When Jude writes this letter, he's not talking about salvation. He's not talking about the experience at the foot of the cross, but rather he is talking about our faith, what we believe, what we have been taught, the truth that you and I have received in our lives. He says that we are to contend for that faith. Contend for the truth of the Word of God. We must contend for the faith. If there's anything that you and I can understand in this day and age in which we are living in, it is that truth is under a barrage of attacks. This government, this society that we are living in has tried its best to define truth for us. Truth is defined by society as relative or subjective. This means that truth can mean one thing to me, but another thing to you. That truth is subject to my thinking, to my experiences, and to my intellect. They say that truth solely relies on the individual. We have heard statements where people say, well, that's not my truth. And in dealing with the sins of this nation, they have pushed this relative truth idea so that they can accomplish a lot in their agenda. If I was to tell you tonight that the grass outside wasn't actually green, but it was actually purple, how many of y'all would begin to tell me that the grass was green? Wave at me. Come on now, just a few of you. If I was to stand up here tonight and tell you that the grass outside was purple, I believe every single one of you, from the youngest up to the oldest, would begin to stand up and argue until you were red in the face, and rightfully so, because the grass outside is actually green. Well, it might be green to you, but to me, the grass is purple. Come on here now. This is what society is doing to us. Well, I might have been born with the DNA of a male, but I'm actually a female. You can refer to me as she, her. Come on now. Amen. Listen to me. If it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. I don't care how you paint it up. I don't care how you dress it up. I don't care how you change it up. A duck is a duck. It doesn't matter how you feel or how you're looking at it. It doesn't matter if the sky outside, amen, is gloomy. It doesn't matter how dark it is. It doesn't matter what time of day it is. A duck is always going to be a duck. Listen to me tonight. We've got to get this down in our hearts. We've got to get this settled in our hearts and in our minds. I do not believe that we are dealing with anybody that's necessarily struggling with their identity. But I'm telling you, friend, I'm telling you, in this day and hour in which we are living in, if there was ever a time that Christians are struggling, it is right now. I said, it is right now. And everything that we are facing, and everything that we are going through, if you and I are not careful, we will begin to struggle with the truth of the Word of God. Let's get this down in our hearts. Truth is not relative. Truth is not subjective, but truth is truth. Truth is not defined by individuals. Truth is not defined by experiences. Truth is not defined by our own intellect, but rather truth is defined by its own characteristics. That which is constant, that which is stable, that which is unmoving and undeniable. There's no such thing as a square circle. There's no such thing as a round square. There's no such thing as a four-sided triangle. It doesn't matter how you paint it. Truth is always going to be truth. It doesn't matter what's going on. 4 plus 4 is always going to equal 8. It doesn't matter if it's raining outside. It does not matter if it's snowing up and down the East Coast. It doesn't matter how many times you put it into the calculator. 4 plus 4 is always going to equal 8. Truth is truth. And listen to me, friend, it doesn't matter how you're feeling. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter what's going on in my life. Truth is always going to be truth. It doesn't matter what the government says. It doesn't matter what our president says. It doesn't matter what society says. It doesn't even matter what the doctor says or what the banker said. God's truth will always be truth. Truth is something that we have to rely on. If we did not have truth, anything would be acceptable. That is why when we make truth relative, our foundation falls apart at its very core. This is what's happening in our society. Anything has become acceptable, and our foundation is crumbling at its very core. And if you and I are not careful as we go through the affairs of life, if you and I begin to sway from the truth of the Word of God, our foundation will crumble. I said, our foundation will crumble. We've got to live our lives
lives based on the truth of the Word of God. It's not about what you think. It's not about what you're going through. It's not about what I think. It's not about what I'm going through. It's always been about the truth of the Word of God. And Jude says that we must contend for the truth. We must contend for the faith. Listen to me, friend. We cannot pick and choose what we live out of this book. I said we cannot pick and choose what we live out of this book. If it's in this book, we need to live it. When we read in the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter, we understand that this is the ending of the Sermon on the Mount. At the end of this chapter, Jesus will remind them, he who hears the words of Jesus and does them will be likened unto a man that builds his house upon the rock. But the one who hears and does not do will be likened unto a man who's built his house upon the sand. Sand is just simply broken down bits and pieces of rock. And if you and I are not careful, we can build our lives upon the sand. When you and I pick and choose what we live out of this book, we are building our house on bits and pieces of broken down Word of God. Would to God that we would stand up and start to contend for the faith again. Would to God that we would stand up and say, it doesn't matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter how bad it is. What the doctor says, I will stand on the truth of the Word of God.
Looking at Jude telling us to contend for the faith, I begin to think of different ways that the enemy will come against us. And our endeavors of traveling this past year, I've grown to realize that everyone's going through something. Think of people like Brother Jeremy Sipe. You've probably heard that name. He loves the Lord. He is dedicated to the will of God. And this cancer that he is dealing with has rendered it to where he is physically incapable of doing God's will. This man loves the Lord. This man is, as Brother Derek said the other day in church, he said, this man is one of the good ones, and I believe you know what I'm talking about. He's a good man, but yet he is dealing with this cancer that is racking his body. I think of a woman who is dealing with chronic back pain and that keeps her up at night. She's unable to sleep, and she has dealt with this pain almost all of her life. This woman's a fine lady. She has served the Lord. She loves God. She attends church. She's a faithful woman, but yet she is dealing with this chronic back pain. I think of a young couple who had just had a baby not too long ago, an experience that's supposed to be exciting, an experience that's supposed to be memorable. That baby had a serious heart issue, and they had to perform emergency heart surgery. I think of the devastation of Western North Carolina and South Georgia, and even most recently down in Florida. So much destruction. So many lives were lost. Homes were destroyed. Small towns were leveled by mudslides and flooding. Seeing everything that's going on around us, not only around us, but what's going on in our own lives. If you and I are careful, it can get us to question the truth of the Word of God. Not too long ago, we were down in the state of Alabama at a youth conference. They had taken up prayer requests, and it seemed as if it was just one thing after another. This bad news, that bad news. This one's dealing with this tragedy. This one's dealing with that tragedy. Over 20 prayer requests that was given. I began to feel the heaviness of the situations, and I threw up my hands and I said, God, when are you going to move? When are you going to relieve us? We are so tired of the things in which we are going through. Oh, come on here now. I know I'm not the only person that's ever been overwhelmed by what's going on around us. And then I was reminded in that service that we must contend for the faith. It does not matter what we're going through.
God is good in the good times, and God is good in the bad times. I was once young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. I know in whom I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm telling you, friend, we must contend for the faith. It doesn't matter how dark it is. God's word still stands. God's word still stands. Now, we have to understand that truth isn't some small infant that needs to be protected. What do you mean, Brother Austin? We just had Asher's first birthday party. We've got some babies in here tonight, some young ones. With that being said, these young ones, they're not able to fend for themselves. Come on. If somebody was to come in here and try to hurt these little ones, it'd be easy. And so that's why God gave daddies. Amen. That's why God gave mamas. If you're going to try to hurt my little boy over my dead body. Amen, dads. Come on now. If you try to come and try to get a hold of one of my little boys, I'm going to do everything that I can to make sure that that little boy is all right. I don't care what I got to do. It's going to happen. You understand what I'm saying? But listen to me, friend. Truth is not some small infant that needs to be pampered and protected. Truth is not something that we need to say, oh, no, you can't do that to truth. Listen to me, friend. It doesn't matter what people say. Truth still stands. I can stand up here for 2 hours and argue with you that the grass outside is purple. I'm telling you, half of you will just get up and leave because you're tired of it, because you know what the truth is. Listen to me, friend. And so he writes and he says, we must contend for the faith, not because we need to protect it in the sense of, you can't say that about truth, but in the sense of, the truth has got to stay in my mind. I said the truth it's got to stay in my mind. It doesn't matter what's going on. I will fight for truth to stay where it needs to stay, in my mind and in my heart. I understand apologetics. You want a definition of apologetics, you can go read in 1 Peter. We must know what we believe. If somebody asks us a question, not that we're constantly looking for a debate, but that means that you've done enough studying and you know what this book says. It's in your heart and in your mind. You contend for it to stay there. Now, we read of a story in the Bible about a man named John the Baptist. The Bible tells us that he is one of the greatest men. Excuse me. Jesus said that there is none like him. John the Baptist is the one that came and prepared the way for a Messiah. He is the one that came preaching, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. He said, I baptize you with water unto repentance. But there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And as he is down by the river preaching, he begins to see the Messiah begin to appear on the scenes. And as he is prophesying about this coming Messiah, he meets eyes with them, so to say, in our imaginations. He meets eyes with them and he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. If you read over, amen, a little bit further in the book of John, you will see that he's almost awestruck as he's talking to his disciples. He says, oh, that is the Lamb Lamb of God. But here we see something happened because of his stand for righteousness, because, amen, of a personal vendetta. We see that John the Baptist is thrown in a prison cell.
It's in this prison cell. It's cold. It's damp. It's dark. He's lonely. He's left to his own mind. Now he begins to reason, question. Is he really who he says he is? The one that I prophesied about that would come and deliver Israel, but yet he can't deliver me out of this bondage. The Bible tells us that he calls for his disciples. He says, I want you to go and you ask him, is he the one, or should we look for another? We know the story. The disciples go, they go unto Jesus, say, hey, John's got a question to ask of you. Are you the one, or should we begin to start looking for another? And Jesus does not look at them and go, I was fixing my hair, okay? I'm the one. He does not just simply look at them and say, you go tell him, I'm the man. Jesus looks at them and he says, you go and tell John what you do see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Brother Austin, what are you trying to say? Do you understand that this was a quote from the prophet Isaiah? And John, being a Jew, would have known that he was quoting Isaiah. And so in essence, Jesus is saying, look, I'm not just going to tell you that I'm the guy. I want you to know for yourself. It's in the Word of God. You understand that this was prophecies that came to pass, that the blind would receive their sight, the lame would walk, the deaf would hear, and the poor would have the gospel preached unto them. John, you know that. Get it settled in your heart. Get it settled in your mind. I'm telling you, friend, I don't care how dark it is. I don't care how cold it is. I don't care how damp it is. I don't care how alone you feel you are. God's word is still truth. I said God's word, it is still truth. And it doesn't matter what's going on. Don't doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the light. We must understand that the word of God stands. It stands. It stands. It stands in the midst of dilemmas. It stands in the midst of trials. It stands regardless of what's going on. God's word is true. Yes. God's word is true. I feel like I'm alone. You're not. Why? Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll be with you all the way, even until the end. There's no way I'm going to make it out of this trial. That's not true. The Bible says that he's not going to put more on us than we are able to bear. He lets us know that there's a beginning and an end to things, and that as long as we are faithful unto him, we will come forth on the other side of the fire. Amen. As gold. I'm telling you, friend, God's word is true. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter how you try to paint it. God's word is true. We must contend for it in our hearts and in our minds. God, help us to realize that your grace is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. You understand, when Paul's writing in the book of Philippians, he says, I have found in whatsoever state I'm in, it doesn't matter if I'm in Virginia or North Carolina. No. He says it doesn't matter what state I'm in. I've learned to be content. He says, if I'm abounding, it's because it's exactly what I need. He said, if I'm abased or I don't have two pennies to rub together, get this, it's exactly what I need. Come on here now. I understand we live in America and we love to live off the top of the cake. We love to live off the blessings and the abundance of that. We like the best of everything. We want the best of steaks. We want the best of food. The best of, and there's nothing wrong with taking care of yourself. There's nothing wrong with every so often treating yourself. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But listen to me, friend. God is good. Even if you're abounding and you're able to treat yourself, it is still good when you're in a prison cell and you're being beaten. I'm telling you, friend, he is sufficient. I said he is sufficient, and his word stands. Another way that the enemy comes against us to get us to question truth of the word of God. Very plainly stated in the book of Jude. There's going to be false teachers. Now, years ago, preachers didn't have to really worry about this as much, what I'm about to say. Because years ago, we didn't have television like we do now. We didn't have materials at our grasp. Come on here now. Majority of the doctrine that was being taught to the people in the congregation was coming from this desk, not this one. But in this day and age in which we are living in, if we are not careful, we can get caught up in something that sounds right, but ain't right. Amen. I can't believe every man that says they're a preacher. Well, let's move on. There's a very real temptation in this day and hour in which we are living in to look at the church up the road who is compromised in biblical standards. Principles. And see that they are running 250 people. There's a very real temptation to look at them and think, my, wouldn't that be great? Listen to me. I would rather have a church of 30 to 40 people who knew what it was like to live a holy life than to go to a church of 250 to 300 people that were compromising. Do you know why? Because Jude explains them like this. He says they are clouds without rain. They are trees without fruit. Listen to me, friend. Not everything that is shiny means that it is right. We must be careful and understand in this day and age in which we are living in, it could be easy for us to compromise. But listen to me, friend. Contend for the faith. If it's in the Word of God, we must live it, popular or not. Why don't you go here? Why don't you do this? Why don't you speak this way? Mama said, it's not going to cut it. Well, pastor says, not going to cut it. We must know why we believe what we believe. The best way to fight against a counterfeit is to know the real. When we lived in Ohio, Kristen was a banker there. She was a teller there at Kimbo Credit, Financial Credit Union. And probably to me, and I might be a little partial, but she's one of the finest tellers there is. I ain't seen nobody count money as smooth as her. Come on now. But in her going there and working there at the Financial Credit Union, she ended up getting exposed to a lot of counterfeits. There's a lot of counterfeit bills and a lot of counterfeit checks. I didn't know you could do such a thing. I knew about the bills, but I mean the checks part, my goodness. And it wasn't that they sent her to a class to start to study all the different counterfeits to try to figure out what this one looks like and what this one looks like and what this one looks like. All she had to do was handle the real bill enough to know what was real and what was not. All she had to do was study the real bill. What is the fabric that is made up in this bill? What is the characteristics that is in this bill? And that way, when she got a hold of a fake one, she was able to say, nope, I can't accept this. This one's a counterfeit, and I know it to be true because I know what the real bill looks like. I'm telling you, friend, we don't need to go out and try to find every heresy. We just need to know what the real bill is. That way, when heresy begins to arise, we can say, I've got the real bill. I've got the real bill. I know the truth of the Word of God. I know God's Word. There's this argument that God's Word, Brother Austin, I mean, it's 2025. Do you think that really applies to this society? Here's the problem. God's Word wasn't meant for the kingdoms of this world. God's Word is for the kingdom of heaven. Though I live here, you see me in Hampton, Virginia, I'm not of this world. I'm a pilgrim passing through. I live in a different society under different laws and different rules. Come on here now. Come on here now. So it does apply to us here in 2025 because I've been born again into the kingdom of God and I live by his statutes. I live by his precepts. I live by his principles. Come on here now. And when he deals with me, I will live by his preferences. I'm telling you, friend, we must contend for the faith regardless of what's going on. Me and Brother Derek and Sister Holly and Kristen were talking the other night, and Chloe, because you know how she's always involved in the adult conversations. We were talking the other night, and Derek looked at me, and it's like it hit him. He said, Brother Austin, we're it. We're it. We're the ones that's running youth camps. We're the ones that's doing conventions. We're the ones that's preaching the meetings. We're the ones that's teaching doctrine. We're the ones. I'm telling you, friend, we are the ones. This church is the ones, amen, that's standing in the gap and making up the hedge. I grew up with men that have compromised and gone in a different direction. There's not a lot of us left, but thanks be unto God that he has kept me. I said, thanks be unto God that he has kept me. And in the endeavor of seeking for truth and wanting truth in my heart, in my mind, he has kept me unto this day.
Yes, he has. Thank God.
My wife comes to the piano. You can ask Brother Shane. Guys our age who have backslid, gone in a completely different direction, outright compromising biblical principles and precepts, bending truth to conform to their mind. I'm going to say this. If we read this book to justify our hearts and our minds, we're not reading this book. Say amen. If we are reading this book to vindicate what we are doing, we're not reading it right. But when we read this book, we do it in the endeavors of seeking for truth and for our hearts and our lives to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. I want you to open your Bibles again to the book of Jude. First chapter. If everybody would stand. I want you to see something. It ministered to me. I don't know. It might not mean anything to you. But I want you to see how Jude bookends or sandwiches this letter. Jude, verse 1. Jude, servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus. Go to the last verse. Excuse me, go to 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. It's almost as if there is a promise that is made. It doesn't matter what I'm going through, Nick, Brother Nick. If I contend for the faith, God will keep me. Yes. Brother, it doesn't matter how bad the church world is getting. If you contend for the faith, God will keep you. It doesn't matter if your brothers and your sisters and the Lord is dropping like flies and compromising on the left and on the right. If you stand for truth, you have it in your heart. God can keep you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. God is more than able to keep his people that are dedicated to truth. If you've got a heart for truth, God can keep you. If you've got a heart for righteousness, God can keep you. If you've got a heart for the word of God, God can keep you in this day and hour in which we are living in. Contend for the faith. Contend for the faith. God will keep you. Now, I said at the beginning of this service, before my wife sang, we're living in some dark times. I don't know why the Lord laid this message on my heart. I don't know what you're going through, what you're facing. I don't know details. I ain't been here in a year, okay? I genuinely don't know. I don't know. God dealt with my heart to tell somebody in this place that you must keep contending for the faith. If you contend, God can keep. Are we recording? Let's cut the recording if you don't mind. I want to share something personal if I can.